Hey man, we'll go ahead and pray, and then we'll jump in this training school lesson for tonight. Dear Yah, we always come to you first, acknowledging you and acknowledging your son, and acknowledge being led by your spirit. Right now we seek wisdom and understanding on tonight, and we bless you in advance for that. We appreciate you in all the things that you do. We worship you for who you are and honor you for just being our God. In the name of Yehoshua, we do pray. Amen. As I said, the word worship, there were some things that came to mind. I may come back and deal with some things later on from that word worship. Just when I said it, it just kind of stirred me up. And just always almost made me want to start dealing with it, but that's another time. What I'm really focusing on doing by the leading of the Spirit of Yah is to really make it clear or clearer and clearer on the proper ways to look at the scriptures. You know, I say this often. We've covered Genesis to Revelation. You know, and when you look at, you know, 30 plus years of being in the scriptures and the church itself coming up on its 30 year in, you know, being in existence. I believe this September 11th, it'll be 29 years that our church church was founded, you know, 29 years ago, September 11th. And we've covered this entire book, you know, over those years, time and time again. And so now, as I had mentioned earlier, I'm at the stage where I want to teach you how to study the scriptures and to see the scriptures, and I want to teach you how to slow down, because we're so used to, you know, reading past things without just sitting there and taking our time and you know, allowing the scriptures to interpret themselves by the leading of the Spirit of Yah. I really want the church to get it. I want you to be good disciples. Disciples meaning basically learned ones. I want you to be good disciples, and so I'm sharing with you just everything that I could possibly understand, and just hope you continue to grow and grow and grow in the things of Yah. And so in doing so, you know, we'll go back and look at some things. We'll, you know, tonight we're going to look at a false doctrine and through, you know, through just seeing these things, it's just vitally important that we become good disciples, okay? And so I'll start out by saying all of us, I feel confident in saying this, all of us have heard the preacher say, and when I'm talking about the preacher, I'm talking about including myself. Because, you know, there were times when I didn't understand things, and because I didn't understand things, I taught the same thing. And so you either heard it from me or some other preacher. So when I say all of us, I'm including myself as the hearer and then as the preacher on the other end, okay? And thank y'all for growth and understanding. You know, I often say this concerning y'all, and it makes me, you know, where I am now as far as understanding is concerned, I'm very appreciative of y'all's patience with me. And I often use a term when I express that in some form. And the term that I always use, I said, y'all winked at me. A lot of times when I was preaching with a lack of understanding. And what I mean by he winked at me, it was like all those times he said, I'm gonna overlook what you're teaching. It's not precept upon precept, line upon line, but I'm gonna overlook it because your heart is right. So during those times he didn't judge me based upon the false doctrines that I was teaching from what I had heard the majority of the time. You know, like most preachers, I was just teaching what I was hearing some other preacher preach or teach. And so y'all didn't judge me based upon the false doctrine I was preaching, but he looked on my heart, my mental state, and he knew that he had put something in there, in my heart, in my mind, that made me want to be pleasing to him, first of all. And then I had a heart not to teach people wrong. You know, that was one of my main concerns. I say to y'all all the time, okay, if I'm going to do this, you gotta bless me to be able to teach the people the truth. And I used to be serious about it. He said, okay, if you can't give me that gift to go along with this preaching that you called me to do, this pastoring, and you know, if you can't, not that he actually can't, but I'm like, if you don't give me the capacity to lead the people right, I'm not gonna do it. I said to y'all all the time, you gotta deal with me in a way that causes people to come into understanding. or I don't want the responsibility. Matter of fact, the first time he revealed to me that he called me the pastor, I said to him immediately, I said, I'm not ready. And his immediate response to my response was, that's why you're ready. Because you let me work through you. And so I'm very serious about I'm very serious about not misleading people and to bring people into understanding, and as I mentioned earlier, to develop good disciples. Okay. And so with that in mind, all of us have probably been told to sow a seed during a church service. And for years I heard people talk about sowing a seed during a church service, and we were led to believe that the seed was money. Thus sowing it money as the seed, it would bring us a harvest of money. And I did it, and I taught it the same way. You know, I used to tell people, you know, sow your seed. You know, you sow your money is your seed. I should teach it. But y'all was winking at me all the time. You know, and again, every time I think about it, it's a very humbling experience. And I appreciate y'all's patience, as I mentioned at the same time. When we preachers would teach that the seed was money, people would respond. They would give money as a seed and would be looking for a harvest of money. And I remember all the things that would be associated with that, you know, because not only had I started to question things, people would question things. And when we were questioned as the preachers, our response would always be, you know, well, it must be something you ain't doing right. You gotta be doing something. You ain't got no business. You're in some kind of seeing on something, because you know when you sow a seed, it comes back. Well, and some of my experience, the icing on the cake would be, and I'd hear a lot of preachers say this, and they would say, "Money answereth all things." And the first time I heard it, I struggled with the statement, because I'm analytical. You know, I often would say the more paperwork you can put on my desk, the happier I get, because I'm analytical. I like information. I like understanding things, and so when I heard that analytical character of mine started to kick in. I was like, wait a minute. You know, common sense tell me, how can money answer all things? I'm like, are they really understanding what they mean when they say all things? And so I start going down a list of things that money can answer. I said, well, money can't answer sickness. You can pay some hospital bills, but you can't go pay to get healed. Money can't answer death. it can prolong certain things when you keep it in association with being able to have some form of medical benefit, but it can't answer death. When it's our time, we going, and I don't care how much money you put on the table, it doesn't change anything. And I understood that money couldn't answer other things. So I sought Yah for understanding. Like, okay, Yah, I see it. It says in the Bible that money answers all things. But what are we supposed to understand as your body, the body of Christ? So we'll go to Ecclesiastes. Chapter 10. And we'll look at verse 19. Now, disciples of United Ministries, and all those who are hearers of the word, we got to be good disciples now. When we look at verse 19, we have to slow down. We have to comprehend every word. You know the rule. We have to understand every word, and we have to pay attention to what's being written. And because we're good disciples, we should be able to see some things that make this clearly understood. Okay. Verse 19 said, "A feast is made for laughter, comma. And wine maketh merry," semicolon. "But money answereth all." If you notice, it says things, but it's italicized. So that lets me know that the Bible is not telling us that money answers all things. It's saying it answereth all. All of what? Now, in order to answer that question, what do, good disciples? We stay within the text. We don't allow our minds to start to imagine what all is. Because if we allow our minds to start imagining what all is, We'll think just like the false doctrine on this is taught. So we have to stay within the text. A feast. Food is made for laughter. Every time we sit down, or when you sit down with your family and you have food, everybody's laughing and having a good time. Then it says, "And wine maketh merry." The word merry is to brighten up, cheer up, glad. You know, I got a lot of guys that I grew up with, and man, when they get to pulling out their beers and sharing their beers with each other, and different things like that, and I watch them at that moment, it's like the more they drink, the more they giggle and laugh, and start to be merry or to cheer up and things like that. So what the Bible is saying is food is made for laughter and wine maketh merry, but money answers all. What? Food and wine. When we stay in the text, the colon lets us know that in order to understand what money answers, we have to go before the colon and understand that that is meaning food and wine. So now we as a good disciple would never say money answer all things, because we know common sense that it doesn't, that it can't. But all of us know, whenever you having a feast, a bunch of food, when you gather all that food, money is the answer to bringing that food home. It is an answer to bringing that food home. It is an answer to bringing that wine home. So when we look at the text now, it becomes clear what money is able to answer. The word answereth means respond. Okay? Answereth. To I or to heed, pay attention by implication, to respond. Money is the response for feast and wine. So now, when I hear some preacher, because this one doesn't teach that anymore, when I hear some preacher say, sow your seed. And when you sow your seed, you're going to get a harvest, because money answers all things. I'd be like, oh, well, in the category for which it's meant. Money responds to its category. I remember when I was watching the movie Titanic for the first time, I was amazed to see this guy who had a lot of money on the ship. He was offering, I believe, the captain a bunch of money to get him on one of those boats that they were putting the women and children on first. It was the captain or someone in that, in some form of authority dealing with that ship. They took the money and just threw it down, because it couldn't answer that ship sinking and people dying. So when it came down to that ship sinking, money was not the response to the issue that was going on with that ship. But yet some people think that having it or having access to it or whatever is the process by which their life is secure. But the scripture clearly reveals to us that that was this old boy who built bigger barns, put all this stuff in it. And once he built those bigger barns, he said, I can take it easy now. My life is good. Got all this stuff in my barns and I ain't got nothing to worry about. Scripture goes on and call him a fool, because he died that night. Money is not the answer after all things.
Scripture said to the man who stored up all that stuff, thou fool, tonight thy life is required.
So, we as good disciples never put our trust in mammon and riches, but our trust is in Yah. And we're never to look at money as a seed that brings us a harvest, but we have to allow the scripture to tell us what Yah's what Yah means in his word. Okay. Now, as we move on through this, I'll say this as I move from Ecclesiastes. Money can only answereth, respond, for purposes for which it is meant, for food and wine. Okay. So, since we have that understanding now, what does the Bible reveal? Now, when we deal with reveal or revelation, it's always disclosure. Since the Bible is truth, disclosure of truth. So, what does the Bible reveal, disclosure of truth, as seed? What does the Bible call the seed? In order to see this, we have to go to Mark chapter 4. And we'll look at verse 13 says, and he, Christ, said unto them, his disciples, know ye not this parable? So when you look at parable, it's symbolic, a comparison, in the definition, a similitude. Metaphorical. Okay. He said, I'm going to say some things, but I'm showing it as a similitude for us to understand how the kingdom of Yah works. So it says again, verse 13, and he said unto them, know ye not this similitude? And how then will ye know all parables? In other words, if you don't understand this one, it's going to be difficult for you to understand any similitude that he gives. So because people don't understand what the seed is, what the Bible says is that when they look at any other parable, they're not going to get that either. Then he says in verse 14, the sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. So men have taught that money is the seed, but the Bible says that the things that we sow is the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan come immediately and taking away the word that was sown in their hearts, minds.
So all of these different grounds that we're going to go through, you know, go through and just look at and not spend much time on them, but we're going to look at them, is referring to the mental state. It's referring to the mental state. Okay? The mind. That's why it says sown in their heart, sown in their minds. Okay? So, before we move forward now, what the Bible teaches us is that metaphorically, Mark 4 and 13, similitude, that's why I'm saying metaphorically, our minds are like the ground. So he's saying, I'm showing you a similitude to understand how the word does to the mind, or what the word does to the mind. So when I look at Romans 12 and 3, says, don't be conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of the mind. The word is what renews the mind. The word will continue to renew the mind. And so what the Bible is using is saying, I'm gonna call your mind ground. And I'm gonna call the word seed. And when you hear it, it goes in the ground. You're hearing it. Verse 15. But when they have heard, Satan come immediately and taketh away the word, the seed, that was sown in their minds, the ground. Okay. Verse 16. And these are they likewise. Same thing. So who's the one coming? Satan. And these are they likewise. Satan's adversary. So you can receive the word, and your friend can talk you out of it. Thus they are Satan. Satan's adversary. Anything that goes against the kingdom of our God and his word is your adversary. Satan just the top dog. There's a whole lot of Satans out there, like there are a whole lot of antichrists out there. Alright. Verse 16 says, and these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground. When the word is sown on a ground that is full of stones. See, I'm a country boy, and I knew in order to grow good crop, you had to get all the rocks out. Yah says that our minds are like ground with stony rock embedded in it. Our minds can be that way. And he explains to us, when our minds are like that, this is what happened. But when stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness and have no root in themselves. Anytime we will plant seed in the ground and left the rocks, the plant couldn't dig down in the soil enough so the root could get strong. Well, the Bible says, likewise, our minds are like that. When we have no root in them, in verse 17, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterwards, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, some of your most significant problems is as a result of the word that you received. I I didn't have a lot of issues going on until I started growing the word. When I started to comprehend and understand the word, there was things that was going on in order to try to produce a circumstance in my life that would make me receive the word with gladness initially, and then I'm offended now. Because things started to happen in my life in a negative way in order to get me away from the word that I had received. That's stony ground. Verse 18, and these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things in the end, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. In other words, when we look at the ground that has thorns in it, whole lot of stuff going on. And if we're not careful, we'll end up losing our way because of what's going on as far as the curves of this world is concerned. I have faith in Yah, but I got so many bills due, I don't know. I'm fruitful now. Curves of this world. I've been a child of God for all these years and I ain't rich yet. Because that's deceit. It is deceitful to believe that we are going to be rich financially because we are the children of Yah. That is the deceitfulness of riches. And when it doesn't happen, it choked the word out. I sowed my seed and I was expecting a big harvest of money. Ain't nothing happened. So I ain't gonna get nothing now. The cares of this world choke out the word that says be cheerful givers. We're supposed to give, but we have to have a mentality about our giving. The scripture said, Yah love a cheerful giver. But because we've allowed our ground to become thorny and we're starting to look at all the stuff that's going on around us, we now have become unfruitful because the world's issues have choked that word out of us. So we're no longer cheerful givers. We're no longer good disciples that have faith in Yah. Because there's so much going on around us, it's done choked all that out. Remember, the seed is the word. The ground is the mind. Verse 20, and these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, or receive and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. That's the good ground. The good ground is not distracted by the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things. Good ground is not concerned about being offended because persecution arises for the word's sake. Good ground is not concerned about being stony good ground is not concerned about when Satan comes for the word and take it away that it was sown in their heart. Good ground, hear it, receive it, and bring forth the fruit of what they've heard. That's why I say all the time, I say, y'all bless us to put into action what we understand. In order to understand it, we got to hear it and receive it. And the fruit is the action that I talk about every time I pray. Lord, bless us to have understanding. And when we understand it, bless us to put into action what we understand. I pray that prayer over you every time I get ready to teach you. See, what the Bible teaches us is that metaphorically, our minds are like the ground. The word is like a seed. And it is dependent upon how we hear and receive the word of God in order to bring forth fruit. Fruit is to be fertile. Verse 20 is ground, a mind that is fertile. When it says bring forth fruit, that means we're fertile. 30-fold is fertile. 60-fold is fertile. 100 is fertile. But the only way we can become fertile is we got to hear it and receive it and bring forth the fertilization of what we've heard. That's what my goal is every time I teach you the scriptures. My goal is that your minds become good ground because you heard it, you received it, and it has made you fertile. You're bringing forth the fruit of the word. Okay? This is why the scripture says this when you look at verse 26. And he says, so is the kingdom of Yah, as if a man should cast seed into the ground. Now, why would he say that? Because we just left it. Mark 4:13. The sower soweth the word. So he's continuing to lead us into the understanding that the word is the seed and that we are the ground. Verse 26. And he said, so is the kingdom of Yah, is that if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring forth and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear. After that, the full corn in the air. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. Okay. I'm going to go to verse 32. And he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of Yah? Or with what comparison, similitude, parable, shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. The seed is the word. Now, I have to warn you before I close. When the Bible says that the sower sows the word, Mark 4, verse 14, the sower soweth the word. Preachers will tell you that money is a word. Okay? I've heard this before, and so I want to warn you about it so that you understand it when or if you hear it. Preachers will tell you that money is a word, so you can sow money. Although that is true, money being a word, it is deceptive because the Bible clearly discloses the truth. The word is God's word and not any word. So you can't go to the Bible and then turn corner. So, well, you can take any word. You can say money is a word. So if you sow money, which is a word, then you can get a harvest. Now, stick with the book. Yah says, the sower sow the word of God through looking at all of Mark 4, 13, all the way up to verse 32. This is a kingdom of God issue. Show me one scripture where it says money is a kingdom of God issue. Matter of fact, the kingdom of Yah doesn't need money to the point to where Christ made a statement, one thing you lack, go sell everything you have and give it to the poor and come follow me. We don't need your money where we're going. I mean, that's basically what he said. But the scripture goes on and said, and the man was sad at that saying, for he had great possessions. So don't ever think God needs your money to bless you. What he needs is your mind to produce and to be fertile from the word by which we hear. We have to hear it, receive it, and bring forth the fruit. Be fertile based upon what we receive, what we hear and receive. I had quoted a scripture here. Y'all want me to read it to you? Now remember what did Mark 4:13 says? Let me pull the Bible up again. Mark 4:13 says, and he said unto them, know ye not this parable? How then will ye know all parables? You don't get this one, you're not going to get the rest of them. Luke 12, verse 16, to the right of the screen. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, I will say to my soul, breath, mine, you see it down at the bottom? So it lets you know how this man was thinking. We got to get our minds right, y'all. I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much good laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But Yah said unto him, fool, says thou, it's italicized. Yah said unto him, fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. What is soul? It's the mind. But the scripture also reveals a deeper meaning of the requirement. You see life at the bottom? So it's letting them know your mind is at ease, boy, but you're a fool because tonight your life is finna be taken. Verse 20. But Yah said unto him, fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward Yah. The scripture lets us know if money is our security, then we are a fool. Because our focus should be rich toward Yah. Now, you look at the word rich, it says increase with goods. Rich, to be wealthy. Mark 4 reveals to us the wealth. And these are they, verse 20, to the left of the screen, which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, bring forth fruit, wealth, toward Yah, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. So as I close, I want to encourage you to hear and receive the seed. Hear and receive the word. Hear and receive the word. Be good disciples. Be good disciples. All right, I'm done. I'm done. Any questions or comments before I close? All right, I'll close here. Father Yah, we bless you for your word. We understand that it is the seed whereby, as we hear it and receive it, it causes us to bring forth fruit because our mind is the ground. We thank you for making us fertile through the wonderful word that you left for us to hear and receive. We don't take that lightly. And we just count it a privilege to be disciples of Christ and the children of our God. In the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen.